Theater, yes, theater is coming back in so many forms and interesting forms after such a long dry spell, including a lot of innovative and new theater. And I'm really interested in getting to the bottom of what has spawned all these things. And one of these is the Spokane Playwrights Laboratory. And it has a workshop performance coming along a week from today. That is on the 14th, and we'll get to that soon enough. And there are a couple of people right in the middle of this whole thing, and so let's get to them. And so I believe the first person that we're going to be talking to is David Bolas. Hello, David.
Well, hello, Vern.
Okay, there you are. It's been a while since you've been into the station talking about different aspects of the theater. And you who have come from different paths, if I think it's safe to say that, and a real deep sense of theater without trying to dissect you completely, say something about your unique path to the theater.
Oh, well, it's I was homeschooled, right? I was homeschooled for about 14 years of my life. And, my mother is very attuned to just how people learn things. And so, my foundational years were really almost learning through theater, in the best ways that I can imagine, making puppet shows or reenacting Bible stories in the backyard. And kind of dissecting and analyzing any piece of art that we ever took in. I can't remember a single like TV show we ever watched where we didn't have a family discussion afterwards about all of the plot points and the character choices. And so it felt like a natural fit to get into the theater. And I joined in high school. I took about 7 years off after that and went to Eastern. And I've done a little bit of community work with the local theaters around here, but I've kind of always, I don't know, cut the air my own way. And Spokane Playwrights Laboratory is just another example of kind of doing things differently.
Well, good. Well, let's bring in your partner in this endeavor, and that's Scott Dowdy. Hello, Scott.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you with us. And I don't know you. I haven't, as I remember, had you on the air before, or have I?
Oh, I've popped in for a couple of things here
Oh,
and there
okay.
over the years, but yeah.
Yeah, but so how do you define yourself in your relation to theater?
Oh, gosh, I got started when I was 15 years old, high school drama classes, went on. Majored in theater at Eastern Washington University, and when I was an undergrad there, I founded my own company, a student theater company, and made the decision right then and there that I was going to be a professional director, and that's been my whole thing for years and years and years. In graduate school, I got into developing new works and have had the pleasure of working with New York's Ensemble Studio Theater. Got to work with Seattle Repertory Theater through the Northwest Playwrights Alliance, and have been developing plays for many decades now. So.
And the director, in the best sense of the word, and I truly mean this, is the enabler between the actors and the play, and therefore the playwright. So I think that already implies why you should be doing this. And I'm going to circle back to the name of the group the two of you put together, Spokane Playwrights Laboratory. And I'm also going to just give you two permission to run away from me at any point and just take off on any riff you do. David, I know you can do that. And so let's, but was there the moment that you said that something happened, that a really good play was not seeing the light of day, that there was some difficulty? And so you said, come on, we got to figure out how to get the plays and the play, therefore the playwrights to the public? Was there such a moment?
David, if you don't mind me starting this story.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah.
So David and I have been circling each other in this community for, 10 years? And
around there.
Working with a lot of the same theaters and knowing a lot of the same artists. And both David and I believe strongly in our local playwrights. I mean, they're the beating heart of our theater community and really advocating for their work and making sure that they get out there. And it was about 8 months ago, we were in a meeting, we were both separately invited to the same meeting to just pitch ideas to a local theater. And we pitched such a remarkably similar idea that we just ended up having this really great conversation, just the two of us, in which case, once that meeting was over, we called each other just instantly and said, hey, you know what? This is the moment. This is the time. Let's just do this. Spokane, our theater community really needs this service, really needs this company to be advocating for and being a resource to our playwrights in the area. And so, David, if you want to jump in here, the last 8 months putting this together have just been wild, just so energetic.
It's been a wild ride. Scott has a little more experience in kind of what we're doing than myself. I mean, I certainly am not short of ambition, but I really hadn't had the opportunity to work with New Works. But I am a playwright myself, and I knew the experience of trying to get my work on its feet here, and how eventually I just, kind of said, well, I'm just going to take my ball and go home, and maybe it'll get good enough over 10 years, and somebody will want to see it, And when we were being asked for some ideas, I thought, well, we have so many people who write in Spokane, and sometimes you do see some work, but I would love to have an opportunity to be able to see more full length plays and really hear the voice of our community. And I think over the pandemic, our voices feel like they have even more power, or maybe it just kind of reset the reality that our voices have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. And, being able to be a part of something that tells a playwright, hey, your words are important. And not only are they important, we're going to help and support you in crafting this to be something. And like, we had our first reading for an aviary for the Birds of Sadness. And being in that room, getting to watch the playwright hear her words outside of people's mouths who aren't her, there was just really something electric about that. I mean, I'm a very emotional guy, so of course I was crying. And, it's like if I needed any confirmation of you're doing the right thing, I mean, there it was. And, I really can't be more proud of the opportunity. I just like to see people getting the chance to create as freely as, for whatever reason, I feel like I can create very freely. And when I get to be a part of somebody else getting that opportunity, it's like, okay, well, this is what I'm here for. So great.
Well, good.
I kind of went on a tangent there.
Well, no, I think you really very well defined what you do, and I want to get a little more into how you do it. So let's use this. Let's use this as an example. This play is an aviary for Birds of Sadness, and it will be given its public reading a week from today. So, and David, you just described the first moment when the playwright was there and she heard her words spoken by actors. So what's happened between then and now that is the service that the Spokane Playwrights Laboratory does?
Sure. So one of the things that makes us a little different is what we've been doing with Tristan, our playwright, for the last few weeks is We've opened up a playwriting workshop for her. So a whole team of creative professionals have been working directly with the playwright to read her script, review it, read it in front of her, make sure that she's really getting an understanding of how her play actually works, you know, because plays are different from, say, short stories or anything like that. Plays are meant to be performed, and you don't really know if your script works until it's been performed, and so trying to get that going. So with that first reading, for example, Tristan's script was only about 85 pages long, and just hearing it read by a team of professional actors, the script has expanded to 130 pages, three new scenes, much more clearly defined character arcs, much clearer sense of what she's trying to say. And this is going to sound wild for a script that's called An Aviary for Birds of Sadness. Really a lot funnier, a lot more touching moments, and really being able to craft those moments really well. So what's going to happen in 2 days is all of us at SPL are going to step into rehearsal. Tristan, our playwright, is going to be there to observe every single moment. And all of us are just going to jam on the script for about a week straight, really trying to craft it. And then on Thursday, we're going to invite in an audience. We're going to give a workshop performance, show an audience what Tristan has written. And then after that, we're going to have a chat back where all of the audience members can directly contribute to the creation of this play. An actual audience member giving their feedback on what they've just experienced. So Tristan can take all of that information and revise and edit her script and get it all polished up and ready to submit for professional theaters to, you know, do her world premiere.
You talked about bringing in some heavies, some other people that know what they're doing, and then, as in your words, jamming on the script. What's the vibe of that? How does that work? How does that feel? Is there any defensiveness? Is there any disagreement? Do you have great arguments? What goes on?
So far, like my experience with this, you know, at the very first time we were all together in the same room, you know, Scott and I had spoken very specifically about this, so we wanted to reiterate it. And the fact that we're all here for one reason, we're here to support the playwright. You know, we are here purely to support the playwright. And so when we come in knowing that, and it's, you know, this is, I don't know, getting your plays up, you can start getting into that cutthroat world of, you know, where it starts to get hard and you start to hear really rough stuff, like people not being tactful about what was working and what's not or whatever. And, you know, SPL is a little focused differently than that. We're here to help you. This is going to be, you know, I don't necessarily believe the term safe space. I think brave space is more apt because it takes a lot of bravery to go into a space and speak how you feel. You know, as close to a safe space as we possibly can get, where the whole vibe of the whole thing is that we're here for the playwright, you know, and when we're kind of talking about the show after, like, we read it up to intermission and then we go, okay, any thoughts? And we're all just talking, you know, Tristan had said multiple times when, like, asking a question to somebody who's playing a character or asking the director a question, saying, like, since I'm not going to get the opportunity next time to ask the people, you know, who are playing these roles or supporting this, can I ask you this? You know, and that, I mean, just supportive right out the gate.
Including and especially the actors themselves who are delivering those lines, and I assume they can say, this does or doesn't work on my tongue.
Yes, and the whole thing, the trick is to create an incredibly dynamic, creative space where everyone feels like they're safe to throw their ideas out there. And David nailed it on the head. Our focus 100% is the playwright. We've got on our website, it's just everywhere. We stress that we're not a theater company. And the reason we throw that out there is because we have the opposite relationship and the opposite goals of most theater companies. You know, most theater companies, their focus is on the audience, and we just have that inverse relationship of what we're doing here. You know, is 100% playwright centered. So I'll actually tell you.
We don't even call them an audience. We call them collaborators.
Collaborators. Well, and I remember I was at Seven Devils down in McCall, Idaho, and this is a great example of what could potentially happen on Thursday and how different this is from most of the viewing experiences around here. We were at Seven Devils, and we were mid-performance, and all of a sudden we heard the playwright we were workshopping jump up, and he yelled out, "I've got it!" Ran on stage, stopped the whole workshop performance, grabbed a pen, started writing all over the actor's scripts, and said, "Okay, that's the new end of this act," and then ran back off stage. None of us had a clue what was about to happen, and just being that close to the point of creation, like actually actively being involved with the play as it's being made, it's so addictive, and it's such an incredible creative experience that I'm hoping we, all of the playwrights out there who are considering working with the lab, who are listening to this right now, will know that, you know, if you bring something to the lab, it's going to be this incredibly positive, uplifting, creative experience where you are allowed to bring something into the workshop and we can kick it around and work on it and you can get the answers and the feedback you need.
Scott Dowdy, one of the co-founders of Spokane Playwrights Laboratory, David Bullis, the other. And you've so well described what has happened up to this point and projected what is going to happen a week from tonight, Thursday, October 14th, for Spokane Playwrights Laboratory and this reading. By the way, it's at 7:30 at the Washington Cracker Building is number one. Number two, tickets are free and available on the website. And once again, I like to make these things easily conceptual in case you're driving. You'll find it by Googling Spokane Playwrights Laboratory, and you'll get all of the information you need. I assume all the usual drills are going on, masking. Are you asking for vaccine cards or what?
I answered the last question. David, you want to jump in on that?
Yeah. You know, masks are required. There's a sign on the door for the building itself. We haven't fully decided if we want to bring proof of vaccination into the equation, but mm-hmm. I'm imagining so. But we haven't quite solidified that. But we are adhering to that CDC guideline as tightly as possible. And we just want this, you know, we keep using the words, we want it to be a safe environment, and that extends in all ways, you know.
Good. Mm-hmm. So that's a week from tonight at 7:30. And absolutely, the ticket in is to have gone to the website of SpokanePlaywrightsLaboratory.com and then engaged with them. Then you will, from them, be able to get any further information. What I want to do right now is leave it right there, because I think we have the essence of this whole thing figured out, and then I want us to here at KPBX to continue following your progress and seeing how this unfolds and your further efforts unfold. So how about that?
Well, thank you so much for having us on today. This is so fun.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice, Vern. Well, I look forward to the day we see each other again.
I do, too. Okay, David Bullis was just talking with Scott Dowdy, and again, it's a week from tonight. I'll say the name once again, Spokane Playwrights Laboratory. Okay, that's what we just did about that, so pay attention to that. One of the